For May the 25th, 2018, we do a free play multiplayer cleanup. Welcome to level 242. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. This episode is going to be a little weird because I done goofed up in making a commitment and I need to leave here shortly. So I figured this is the second time we've done something like this. I figured we would do a free play multiplayer cleanup.
Yeah. I think it's also the first one that I have been on.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It's time to make good on our promises.
I've been keeping them. I've got a whole big list here. There's 60 of them. We're not going to do all of them.
Forget. We will never forget what you wrote.
No. That lives forever. Internet's
you
an
know
ink.
What you did.
The internet is an ink, my friend. Yeah. But I didn't want to miss a second week in a row because I was dealing with a family commitment last week. And I appreciate everybody's patience. Real quick, how's everybody doing?
I'm good.
Yeah,
I'm pretty damn good. I don't think we'll talk about it on here, but we played a video game earlier today, Cole. So I had a lot of fun with that.
Yes, we did. You and I played most of the way through the first chapter of A Way Out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We're covering that on WoF. And Ben is very gamely being my playthrough buddy, and it's very hilarious because you have been through that before. You are strategically failing in places so you can see the death animations.
Yeah. Curious to test the boundaries.
It's very funny. I like it.
I love that you're probably rationalizing it like, well, I don't want to bias Cole. I don't want to do anything that I wouldn't do in the first playthrough while systematically you're walking yourself into every spike trap there. Yeah. I assume there are spike traps. I'm not sure.
We spend a little bit of time talking about those absurd flamethrower traps in The Rock.
Yeah. Is this like the Tomb Raider school of death animation or
no?
Not as gory.
Yeah. So far it's just been like, hey, you guys, get out of there, and then like our characters get like,
you rascals, you aren't supposed to be here.
Yeah. The most violent one was when we fell down a shaft.
But you don't see the violence in that one.
No.
It's just a lot of frame.
Yeah.
It's like 5 minutes of
So
quieter and quieter. Oddly inappropriate kerplunk sound.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I'm looking forward to playing more of that tomorrow.
Yeah, likewise.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I want to get in as many questions as we can, so I'm going to get us started. There are at least five different versions of this question, but it's nice to get a little bit of an icebreaker here. Steven asks, what you drinking?
Ooh.
I got a fun one for this one.
Okay.
So we got lime rum about a week ago for I forget what cocktail. And we had green tea here for dinner. And I was like, I wonder what would happen if I put the two together. Oh. And it is delicious, and it does not taste alcoholic in the slightest.
Huh. Dangerous.
So it is a dangerous drink, yeah.
Is this a sweetened green tea, or is this just a regular-ass green tea?
This happens to be a sweetened one, okay. And I don't know how it made its way into the house, because normally, like, to sneak sugar into the house past Jen is very difficult to do. Like, there's a force field that just repels it. But but she brought this home and was drinking it. I was like, I got an idea.
Yeah.
And we agreed that it was delicious and dangerous.
Hmm.
As a side note, lime rum is not an acceptable replacement for lime and Rose's sweetened lime juice. I will judge you for that.
Judge away. I'm too drunk to know.
No, not saying that's what happened. Just saying, in case.
Yeah.
That is where I draw my hipster line.
Yeah. So is that the idea that you like, if you wanted to make a like a quote unquote proper Cuba Libre, like this needs to be a rum and Coke with lime, the lime and the rum would actually make it, you know, like that would bring the flavor to it? Or I think more.
You feel like you need to make a Cuba Libre just a little bit more capitalist,
a little less Libre.
Yeah, just a, yes. just can I prepackage this? Yeah. No, I think we need to know the name of this cocktail you've made, Dennis.
Give me a second to think about it, and I'll let you know. I'm just gonna blurt it out at some point during the show.
Okay, I've got mine, but I don't want to bias yours. Yeah. What are you drinking, Ben?
So I was on the last of my coffee beans, so I ground them up very finely, and so I have a very small amount of very acidic coffee that I drank, and I had a Tums to follow that up.
Nice. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should have ground up the Tums with it.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Hindsight 2020.
David?
So I actually haven't been drinking my alcohol, although I've been trying to eat more healthy, reduce my sugar intake, and I discovered that kombucha is a thing.
Okay.
In my attempt to eliminate my daily soda ration.
Right.
So I know, I feel like that's maybe one of the most like California things that I could possibly do.
That town is changing you.
Yes.
It's not that thing. I just
technically alcoholic though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good point. Good point. Okay, so I guess I am technically drinking alcohol.
Yeah, it's a living beverage.
All right, Cole. I'm gonna call it the Green Party.
Okay. I was gonna call it the Filthy Monk. But the Green Party is very good. I do not overrule yours. I could not overrule yours, but Green Party is quite good. I've had a little bit of a tummy rumble, but I wanted to get a little bit loose, so I have I'm trying out a Goose Island IPA. So, yeah,
hard to go wrong with those.
Yeah. Well, you get 15 of them in a case or in a pack. So, hey, sign me up.
They made so many; it can't be bad.
It's just a, it tastes like a mid-range IPA. Like that's fine.
I don't know. I mean, geese are maybe one of nature's most evil creatures. Probably only surpassed by cats.
Right.
Yeah, but it's made with real geese, so he's punishing them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
I
full.
Can get behind this.
Full of
at least 15 of them died for that case.
At least just nutritious goose squeezins.
the I ate the worm T-shirt. You have an I ate the goose T-shirt.
Yeah. It's a long neck.
How they fit it into the bottle?
Paul writes a question that I think is very good. That I'll put to the group here. Would you rather be forbidden to ever play any game with a 90 or better on Metacritic, or be forbidden to play any game with an 89 or below? Okay, so you can only play games in the top 10 percentile of critical consensus rankings, or you can only play games from the other 90%. This one's easy for me. I would rather be forbidden to play anything in the top 10 percentile. No question.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. I was going the other direction because I frequently riff on the theme, and I'm sure I've said it on the show, that there is more like truly worthwhile content out there than you could ever get to in a lifeline. Mm-hmm. Like if you only focus on the stuff that's like really mind blowing, you'd still have too much to ever get to.
Yeah.
So I almost feel like just going to the top end of the spectrum to narrow things down for me and trusting that will not result in me ever lacking for stuff to play.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I feel like the one thing that like gives me pause is that I've noticed that there is definitely a different scale for indie games and AAA games.
Okay.
That is a good point.
I think like just about the only AAA game I would miss if I went with the higher range is Destiny 2. Whereas there's a a ton of indie games that are good games that have lower than what was it? Was it 90 was the cutoff? I'm sorry.
Basically, yeah, it was 90. So 90 and above or 89 and below.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is like there's definitely a thing where pretty much any halfway decent like AAA game is going to be at least a 90, whereas the same is not necessarily true for indie. So
Ooh, there's a question. Do you use Metascore or User Score? Is it different?
Yeah, they are
Metascore is
different.
the yeah, Metascore is the aggregation of like all the sites' rankings, and User Score is the populace. I think I'd feel more comfortable going the 90 or above by User Score,
I would be more
or
comfortable
like
doing the
Steam
80
Score.
below on user score because the user score is only up to 10.
Right.
Oh wow.
Aha.
What about like I think. Okay, first off, like from the question asked, I think I'd probably go 90 or above.
Oh, I couldn't
But
play Into the Breach. Good Lord. Okay.
just because like I have a tendency towards, more being into kind of the action-y AAA type stuff.
Oh
However,
man,
I think
Hellblade would. Oh, sorry.
my ideal would be if I could pick like only things with Steam reviews of was it very good or whatever. Because I've found that like over a long enough time period, those it seems like those always end up where they should be.
Right.
I think this is like a no question for me. I would play the games in the top 10% just because there's so
Wow.
much good stuff in there.
So
And like,
I'm the only person who picked below.
well, I gotta change my answer because Hellblade is outside of the top, is like an 88. Into the Breach is an 89.
Yeah.
See,
It
and
cuts
that's what I'm
out.
talking about. That's the sort of
Yeah.
thing where, like, if those were AAA games, there's no question they would be in the
Yeah.
top 10. I mean, I guess Hellblade is what, kind of semi-borderline AAA, right?
Bigger
Double A.
studio, like yeah, Ninja Theory,
Yeah.
former first party. Ben, I'm sorry I interrupted you. You were
No,
leading
you're
up to
good.
something. Yeah.
I think that if the it was like maybe like 95 and above or something like that, it would be a tougher question. But like pretty much any game that was like, oh, that was like the best game of that year or something like that, it seems like all of those are 90 or above.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say for me, like, there's a lot of fun also in, playing the games that are kind of the meta right now in terms of like playing Monster Hunter World when like everyone was playing Monster Hunter World was fun. And I feel like those sorts of games tend to more be the kind of AAA, high nines and tens.
But
Yeah.
here's the thing. Looking at new releases, God of War is the only game over 90. And pretty much everything else that's come out recently, including really incredible stuff, is like in the mid to high 80s range. So I'm going to use the same argument I used earlier, just in a different way, and say there's so much good stuff out there I can cut off the top 10%. And still be able to get mind-blowing, amazing stuff.
Yeah,
So,
I want interesting failures, like the reviews that Metacritic would pull from, if we're assuming that it is the Metascore and not the user score or what have you. They're almost going to be like picking for whatever is kind of state of the art or something, a part of a big series or like things that are like fashionably in vogue. I need those flawed gems. And
I think you're though underestimating that this could be your way to escape abject suffering.
But I like doing abject suffering a lot.
Well,
Playing the games is by far the least the least good part of that, but
that's just your penance.
yeah.
There's
It's
some weird things where it's like if you take the top 10%, you could play The Witcher, but you couldn't play the expansion of The Witcher.
Oh,
Yeah.
jeez. Yeah.
You couldn't play the original Mass Effect, but you could play the sequel.
Yeah.
This is what about what if there is one that did like the Rotten Tomatoes thing where it was just positive or not?
I would like that.
Yeah, I think that would work.
Yeah.
There, we've inserted our own rules into your question and found the perfect answer.
Yep.
we got an hour, right? So.
Yeah, we should probably go on. That was a pretty meaty
question. Number two.
Yeah. Let's see here. I'm going to get away from the would you rathers, and say here's one that's kind of a little bit alienating to Ben, but I need to I need to bring it out anyway because it's been a while since we've done this. Chris asks, I'm a huge baby when it comes to Dark Souls. For someone who is terrible at Souls games, what would you suggest as the, quote, friendliest one to step into?
Oh, man.
First Dark Souls. Demon Souls, I think, is a little bit too opaque. Dark Souls 2 is really hard at the beginning, even though there are a lot of quality of life improvements. Even though Dark Souls 3 is the one that I think is the most kind of, it feels the best in your hands right out the gate. I think that it gets way too hard, way too fast. Ceiling goes way up. Yeah, I'd say first Dark Souls.
All of us who have played it, what was the first of that series that you played to completion? Because mine was the original Dark Souls as well.
Same.
My modus operandi is getting to the last boss and then never bothering to fight them. That's where I'm at with both 3 and Bloodborne.
It's the Final Fantasy model. Yeah.
I would say, like, I feel like 3, you know, I didn't play 2, but I feel like every time I'm in the wiki and I stumble upon some mechanic that I'm like, oh, this would just, like, I could never play a game with this mechanic. I look and it's in Dark Souls 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like 3, it seemed, I feel like the stuff they did with, like, the the stagger resistance or whatever, enemies having unlimited endurance and their recovery time from when you block, stuff like that, really makes the combat a lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna change my answer. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Okay, at least for me, Bloodborne became fairly easy once I learned both to walk everywhere, because its stealth is actually surprisingly effective.
Right.
And then once you start fighting, just ignore all of the mechanics it tries to teach you, and, like, hitting things with the biggest weapon possible is usually the best strategy.
I was going to change to Bloodborne in order to say I think it would be fascinating to hear a perspective from someone who plays that game first and has never touched any of the Souls games, because I feel like so much of Bloodborne stands in contrast to the other kind of spiritual games in the series.
Yeah.
That would be a really... I don't want you to do that for you. I want you to do that so you can tell me about it.
we've had people whose entry point to the series was Bloodborne or Dark Souls 3 right into Bonfire Side Chat and say, like, yeah, it takes a little bit of getting used to, but otherwise, like, the biggest difference is that it's just slower, or, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, something I read, this was some random review for one of the either the second or third games of the Stalker series, that basically argued that the first game in the series is basically the actual story of this series. The second game is basically everything leading up to everything that matters, and the third game is everything that comes after, like, all the the consequences of everything you do in the first game. And so kind of arguing that to a certain degree, like, the first one is the story that the setting was really set up to tell. And it seems like there's sort of some truth to that for the Souls series.
Yeah, I mean, the first one has the best overall holistic story, you know, by the values that people judge Souls game stories, it is the best one. Yeah, that does apply, I think. Yeah.
I have no opinion on the matter.
Well, because you have no opinion, I'm gonna hit you, Ben, first with a would you rather, and we can all answer this afterwards.
Okay.
Dennis had to step away, so we may need to reiterate this when he gets back. Would you rather, this is from Steven, would you rather play with your mouse or joystick inverted, or whichever one you don't like? So if you play with it inverted, playing with it normal or non-inverted, or would you rather play southpaw, i.e. the joysticks on a gamepad are switched, or you use your mouse in the opposite hand?
Oh, man. I think I would try the inverted before I would try the southpaw. That sounds too hard. You at least accidentally play inverted sometimes, so sometimes you can get used to it, or sometimes in certain contexts. So I'm the non-inverted, so sometimes like things have to be inverted, like with like playing games or something like that, and it makes sense there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I could make that transition easier.
For sake of argument, are any of us southpaws?
I'm left-handed.
I play sports left-handed, but I like write and do everything else right-handed. So go figure that out.
The opposite of that. That's interesting.
Oh, weird.
Huh.
So I think I would probably go with the southpaw, because inverted controls on anything that's not Flight Simulator are an abomination to nature. More seriously, at least I would be getting some dexterity training so that I get my +2 to offhand attack.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, for me, it would be inverted. I currently play everything normal, up is up and down is down. That seems like a simpler rewire than teaching my left hand to do something it is not used to doing.
What do you,
I'm with you on that.
I guess for, I don't know, and if you use a Mac or not, but if for everyone who do you use quote unquote natural scroll or whatever the alternative is?
I use natural scroll, yeah.
Oh, okay. Alternative, where if I drag down, I expect the screen to go down.
Right, yeah. Right. Whereas if I drag down, it's like I am grabbing onto a piece of paper and pushing it downwards.
Yes.
So like it effectively is scrolling up. I use I've got a magic mouse thing. So it's kind of like a little touch surface anyway. So that makes sense for me to do natural scroll.
Ah.
Yeah. Dennis, was that your answer?
Yeah, I would go to inverted. In fact, both of my brothers are staunch supporters of inverted joysticks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just everything they do is that where they can. And so growing up, I was the weird one because I played non-inverted.
Oh, right.
Are you sure they are actually your brothers? Are you sure they are not pod people?
Pretty sure one of them is adopted. But it would start fights. It was like a toilet seat up or toilet seat down kind of a kind of atmosphere.
The toilet seat of video games.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, that's any VR headset.
Oh, no. Why do you do this violence to me, Dennis? Oh, man. Let's see here. I'm going to do this one. It's not really game related, but Paul writes, have you ever moved somewhere where you didn't know anyone? How did you meet people?
Time.
Yeah.
I've done this twice. It takes a couple years to build up a friend group again. So it's a little bit slow, but I don't know. Find hobbies. That's usually the easiest way. Find hobbies where people are pretty cool. Yeah. So usually board games or magic, people are pretty friendly there. So yeah.
Yeah. Like you've met people initially through doing board game stuff at work. And then do you have buddies that you've met at the magic events?
Yeah. Yep.
Nice.
I've amazingly been in Cincinnati my whole life, but I went to Chicago for like a quarter to intern, and I was so bad at this.
Right.
Just like I was, it was an extended stay hotel, and I tried to go to like one or two of the social events there, and after chatting up the manager and realizing no one else actually attended them, I was like, well, right. I guess I'll spend 3 months alone. I would love an answer to this question as well. I thankfully haven't had to deal with it that much, but
Right.
I'll definitely emphasize that it takes time.
Sure,
you don't develop a huge group overnight. It's just like, you know, once every several months you might hit it off with a person and then hang out with them and that's it, you know.
It does have a fond spot in my memory because that is when we took the podcast officially like to iTunes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I distinctly remember recording the first episode in the extended stay hotel room. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I've recorded several episodes in extended stay hotel rooms. It is very weird to do that.
Yeah.
And to
you're
be
just
fair,
in a chair that's not your chair and
yeah.
We have established though that Dennis's superpower is hotel Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you've been really lucky with hotel. It's you and then Autumn Greer. Autumn Greer
really?
Has recorded episodes of Radio Free Midworld on hotel Wi-Fi, and I didn't know until we were just on a break, and she mentioned, "Yeah, I'm not at home. I'm in this what do you do? Like, what kind of blood have you rubbed on your laptop that would make that?"
There's your problem. You got to rub it on the hotel manager, not your laptop. Mm,
yeah,
it's awkward, but it works.
Then he gives you the good password, not the bad password.
So I'm currently actually partially in this because I, you know, moved to San Francisco in January. So I'm partway through. I don't know. My go-to has just been, starting doing random martial arts and church. Yeah, it's been interesting. The main weird thing about my social circle right now is
right.
Pretty much no one outside of work that I have much social engagement with actually speaks English.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it's actually very surprising how much of a, I don't know, social interaction you can have without having to speak the same language.
Yeah. it's a fun little test.
Yeah.
Come on. Haven't you watched Wall-E?
I really want to track down the script for Wall-E.
Just to post it.
That must have been hellish.
Fun side note, a fun fact about that movie is they usually give like a certain budget to the people making the movie to be like, do research or whatever. So for like Ratatouille, they used it to go to Paris to like explore and like take pictures. They went to South America when they did Up. For Wall-E, they literally just hired really good screenwriters and were like, help us write the first like 15, 20 minutes of this movie.
Oh, nice.
Huh. Yeah.
Nice. I didn't realize apparently, Pixar is right next to, or not literally next to, but like right in the same area as where I work. So apparently a bunch of their movies like make references to the various like hole in the wall restaurants and stuff around.
Hmm. That's fun.
Now I need to actually watch more of those movies.
They're fine. Yeah. This one will be fun to dance around. Jonathan asks, a lot of games have bad or unsatisfactory endings. Which game has a good ending? Or what game has a good ending? It's not like there's just one.
Pick the one game with a good ending.
Oh, I actually have a good answer for this one.
Okay.
Max Payne 2 has, I think, a great ending. I think it does a really good job of nailing the feel of the ending and feeling very earned and stuff like that. And that's as much as I'm, do like a lot of the things it does. That's something I kind of hold against Max Payne 3 is they kind of just ignore the ending of 2.
Mm.
Huh. Also, I just in terms of 2 games just with weird endings, the original Diablo has a very odd ending.
I like that ending a lot.
And the original Stalker game has a very weird twist ending.
I'm going to say this one because I just recently played through it again. But Spec Ops: The Line has one of my favorite endings.
Oh,
in games.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Actually, technically has like 5 really good endings.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dennis.
Let's see here. I know endings that I've had a strong reaction to, but I'd have to go. I'm gonna to Hellblade.
Okay.
So Senua's sacrifice, and I'm gonna include kind of like the cutscene, the final before the final boss fight, the final boss fight, and then the end after that of all like as part of the ending.
Right.
Like that was incredibly affecting for me, and I was basically like just tears streaming down my face during the entire final boss fight.
Oh, nice.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben? I think I'll say Inside for recent games.
Oh, dang. Yeah, that's also very good.
Mm-hmm.
So I realize this is not the answer, but I think worst ending of all time, and to express how much I despise this ending, consider that I'm not going with, like, the Stanley Parable or any of the Dead Island games.
So this is a game that you otherwise liked.
Yes, is the ending to Life is Strange.
Oh. Huh. I enjoyed that.
My issue with it is not the fact that it's... A little bit spoiled. Not the fact that it doesn't have an overtly happy ending, mm-hmm. so much as the fact that it just unilaterally undoes, that basically pulls the "it was all just a dream."
Mm.
Like it's more that is what bothers me, and yeah. and the fact that I think a lot of the positive aspects of it relies on you not actually thinking through what the consequences of
we can't engage on this further without giving away a lot of details about a very good game, so I don't want to I don't want to continue.
A game I highly recommend, and you should play even to the end, but the end still I think is one of the worst in any game I've ever played.
Oh wow. We're getting up
Hot
here.
Take.
We're getting up here in time. John writes, "How do you talk about your gaming interests to a non-gaming partner or close friend? People close to me obviously want to know what I'm doing with some of my free time, too little of a response makes me sound dodgy, and the alternative just makes their eyes glaze over. Is there a medium ground, and how do I get there?" I do like the idea. Yeah. So what? Like, what do you do on like weekends? Oh, nothing. Yeah. Sitting in a room.
What do you do on weekends?
Yeah, who told you? You're getting real nosy there, aren't you? Yeah, the majority of people that I've like interact with and kind of met are people who I've met through work or whatever, and you know, you end up talking about this stuff. For me, like any kind of game thing was brought up in context of like, oh, I have an idea for like a project or for like a visual idea. It's going to be similar to something that's like in this game. And then you bring it up, like, you know, you show them a video or like, you know, the style of it or whatever. And then like, okay, yeah. Like, yeah, I found out about that cause I was reading about this game or whatever. Like it just doesn't kind of end up becoming a thing, you know? So that was hardly an answer. Yeah. I want answers from people who actually interact with other people.
Just suddenly got incredibly faint.
No, I kind of trailed off. can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
I'm in the interesting situation where like the work I do relies very heavily on like analogs and be able to pull like examples and connect dots from stuff. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the time when you're doing that live, it comes from your personal life. It's like just mm-hmm. stuff that's in your head. And so I'm constantly in this situation where I'm like, oh, I've got the perfect analogy to explain what we're trying to do here, but it's based on Mortal Kombat. Shit.
That I don't see anything wrong with this.
Yeah. No, it's great. But usually the heuristic I run it through is like, all right, if I can explain this as if it were like a movie scene, I can probably get through it. Mm-hmm. Or if I could explain it as if it were a board game, not actually like disguising what it is, but like, uh-huh. okay, if I could explain it as a movie scene or as a board game, I can get through it. If it requires more than that, it's probably going to be too complicated and I'll jettison it. So
yeah.
See, I just assume that, you know, Grant, I don't come from this world, but I would just assume that all like business strategy meetings at some point involve the phrase "finish him."
Yeah. But yeah, so it, but so when I explain it, I don't like pretend like it's a movie, but I will, you know, like it needs to be that simple to get it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so similar idea. Except mine was more about like visual stuff as opposed to other.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say for me, like almost all of my like connections, you know, have at least some, you know, interest in gaming and stuff like that. Probably for me, like the biggest thing that is a frustration for me is, getting my, you know, talking with my father about it,
mm-hmm.
To a large degree, because like he's really into like the, you know, kind of the Tom Clancy, you know, kind of techno thriller type of stuff.
Right.
And so like, there's a lot of games that cater to that, that would be, you know, that I think he'd really, really enjoy,
mm-hmm.
but like, there's no way I'm ever going to get him to try any of them.
Yeah.
So it's like, Alpha Protocol, for example, would be right up his alley.
Right.
No one can replicate this, but actually I find like, oh yeah, I do a podcast about it is an excuse to talk about it as much as I want.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. there's oh, some, man. because you record it, it's somehow like valid now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's like science. It's, you know, just dicking around and recording what happens.
Yeah.
Ben, how about you?
No, yeah, I have a similar experience where a lot of times I talk to people about it as like an intro. I'll be like, oh yeah, I do a podcast about video games, and then like they'll ask me about that, and then we'll or just talk about kind of like how that goes. But I've never really felt like hesitant about sharing the fact that I play video games. No. Or like I don't know.
I think it's just like any other interest. Like if somebody asks you, to volunteer the information, go ahead and do it, and then don't. And this is difficult for me. Like you'll hear me kind of hit the brakes even when I'm talking here. It's kind of like, oh, do you guys actually want to hear about all this? Like, don't hit them with too much. Like, say enough to not still sound like you're avoiding them or, you know, making it weird or whatever. But like, you know, if they want to know more, have them ask more, and then immediately turn it around and ask them how they spend their free time. Because you in any conversation, you don't want to be the one talking.
A little Aikido there. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's a good general life skill.
Yeah.
One of the things, exchanges, whatever I am very proud of, though, is back home, my one of the pastors at my church, games with his son who's fairly young, I don't know, maybe in the 10-ish range,
mm-hmm.
And you know,
so better at video games than we will ever be.
Right,
exactly. And but you know, was talking about it can be legitimately hard, you know, finding games that are, you know, kid appropriate, stuff like that. And so, you know, he was talking, mostly they've been doing, they both really liked Counter-Strike, whatever the current, like, you know, Steam's kind of current iteration of Counter-Strike. So I was able to introduce them to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and heard back a little while later that that's now, like, their favorite game. So
that's good.
Camping with my son.
Yeah, exactly.
At my old office, I kind of ended up being, you know, worked with a lot of people with kids, and people would ask like, oh, I myself really enjoy X kind of game, and I want X kind of game for my kid. Can you recommend Y game that will also be appropriate for a kid? And then like sitting down and have like talking with them, like that takes time to become like a source of information for people, but that mm-hmm. is good. Like to use that yeah. to help people specifically when they request. Do not offer that advice unsolicited.
All right. I want to try this out right now. Cole, I like the game Manhunt. I want a game like Manhunt that my kid can play.
I don't know. We music because No, can't. I can't think of a kiddie stealth game. You really right. beat. Yeah.
So the one that I feel like super conflicted about is my martial arts instructor. When I was in Cincinnati, is super super into like heavy metal music and dark fantasy stuff and stuff like that. So it's like, you would absolutely love the setting of Dark Souls, but are you sure this is a thing you want to do?
Yeah. You got to keep the Dark Souls recommendation in the chamber and also behind glass, and then in a velvet bag in a safe underneath your bed.
Man, I would love to see your sleeping arrangement.
It's basically the opening to Get Smart. Let's do a lightning round. I'm going to record the outro on my own, so that way we can do just one more, because I have to go shortly after this. But Robert asks, what is the first game you remember finishing? Sonic 2.
For me, it would have been the original Spyro the Dragon.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I remember playing Mario 1 and Mario 3, but I never remember beating any of those games.
Yeah, if I did, I guarantee you I got like to credits or to the last dungeon or whatever. But using warp whistles or warp tunnels, like, I don't count that.
Yeah, I remember getting to World 8 very quickly, and because cheats were the coolest thing ever to kids. I do remember there was a Mickey Mouse puzzle game like way back when. I do remember playing and beating that, and that was like around maybe second or third grade.
Yeah.
Oh, well, can you ever beat Mario Teaches Typing?
I don't know. I think when you get the nude scene with Yoshi. Yeah.
maybe Oregon Trail?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. Yeah, I think I beat that. Yeah.
No one's ever beat Oregon Trail. Don't lie.
You always die in the Snake River.
Grueling pace.
It's a kill screen. Yep.
Low portion meals. Yep. Get there.
We're going to get to Oregon if we have to march our feet to stumps.
Yeah. Oregon death march. Yeah.
David, let me rephrase the question. It's not, can you remember the first game that you beat? What is the first game that you remember beating?
I would say probably the first Stalker game.
Okay. All right. Well, do you all want to button it up?
Lightning round of buttons.
Those are snaps. Shit. The credit. Yeah, there's nothing special that I want to ask for in this credits. Thanks to everybody for listening to this kind of strange episode. We'll be back with something more normal next time. The usual stuff. Ratings and reviews in iTunes, Patreon, etc. Just go and enjoy your week or weekend. I should probably do the outros. So let's see here. I've been Cole Ross. You can find me at Cole Ross on Twitter. I was also joined by, let me think about the order, Dennis, D Furia on Twitter, David, who I don't think is on the internet, and then Ben, who is Merkle B on Twitch. And stick around. I don't know. For like some titles, but not really. Okay, bye.
Snaps are really just lightning round buttons.
Cool. Like I said, I'll do the admin afterwards. I wanted to get up to this point where I have time to go and grab more water for the thing I'm going to do.
Yeah. What do you think? Good luck. Quick,
yeah.
Can I throw out some titles?
Yeah.
Okay. I had Hipster Line, Cuba Libre, A Little Less Libre, Grueling Pace, and Lightning Snaps.
Lightning snaps
or lightning, whatever. lightning buttons.
Yeah. I didn't keep any down because I just wanted to label this as free play.
Yeah, okay. I didn't keep any, but there was like six in the last 3 minutes. So just like hit 15 seconds back a couple times and then pick.
Then you're good. Cool, guys. Thank you. We'll have a more regular thing next week.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Good luck again.
Yeah. Thanks.